go.
What do I think of her?
Yes.
I don't think of her.
Bless a red wine and a swisher. I think you get the picture.
Bitch. Here I go. Oh.
Read about that in the New York fucking Post.
Okay, so welcome to Patreon. Hi guys, welcome to Patreon. I haven't died in the elevator yet.
Oh my God, we're still in this damn elevator.
I'm gonna mine it for all it's worth. I'm gonna sell it.
I'm gonna shove you down that elevator.
Stop. I did ask you after talking about John Mulaney to push me down the elevator. Well, and you have yet to, so you're a fake friend.
Well, turn off the mic.
You're
Let's go.
Fake friend. Okay, so you have.
What have we got to talk
about?
About
the Emmys.
Oh yeah, this is a mess. I want to get your take on this. So. As anyone can probably guess, the Emmys are going to be a shit show this year, like,
obviously,
to the absolute highest degree. So this is from Variety. I think just today, basically, there were some interviews with people who are working on the event. So if it feels like this year's details about the year's Emmys are coming very last minute, it's because they are. The rise in COVID-19 cases around the country due to the Delta variant has kept everything fluid with this year's production, including how to accommodate an in-person audience. Normally, the Emmy producers would be able to preview the annual telecast by now, but not in 2021. Beyond host Cedric the Entertainer, details about this year's Emmys are still very elusive. All three Creative Arts Emmys and the main Emmy ceremony in CBS have been relocated to a high-end tent on the LA Live Events deck, next to downtown Los Angeles' Microsoft Theater. Originally, there was going to be room for every nominee and a guest, but after consultation with health and safety advisors, the TV Academy decided to limit the number of attendees for the September 19th telecast to around 600 and closer to 500 for each of the Creative Arts shows. That meant max of four people per nominated production team and a lot of hurt feelings. So these are some quotes from people who are basically been getting the news or are going to be nominated for some of the Emmys. They said, "I do think it's pretty shitty to be nominated for an Emmy and not be invited," one producer told Variety. "I don't know if this will happen again. It just feels like this huge moment in my career sometimes that comes with a big asterisk on it." TV Academy President Maury McIntyre knows the situation isn't ideal, especially as he hears from publicists and awards consultants struggling to figure out how to allocate these limited tickets. So the whole thing here is that audience members will basically be seated also at round tables, kind of like the Golden Globes, rather than the show's usual auditorium configuration. This way, they're limiting the amount of people in the tent in the hope that the members will be able to take off their masks, because, of course, God forbid, while the cameras are rolling. That, of course, may wind up not being officially determined until the actual day of air. I don't know if that means that the masks will be required or not by the time the event, when they say that. That would be very interesting to see, because I don't think they... I mean, really, I think you've noticed this. They never want to show celebrities wearing masks at this point. Like, it's something that nobody ever wants to do. Apparently, vaccinations and proof of a negative COVID test are not going to be required for each attendee, but the window to get these test results are fairly narrow. So McIntyre says, "The thing that keeps me up at night is probably the testing issue. We will be providing resources to nominees for where they might get tested and where they might be able to even get a rapid test. We do want to make sure that we are giving all of our nominees and their guests or attendees as many resources as possible so that they can get their stuff done. I completely acknowledge it's a whole new frontier for us." Meanwhile, although there isn't enough room for all the nominees under the Emmy's tent, and the Academy has been, even though the Academy has been celebrating those who were tapped via 11 in-person receptions at its North Hollywood headquarters, and the org is planning its first ever viewing party to be held at the evening of September 19th at the Jonathan Club in downtown Los Angeles.
Yeah, I mean, I think what's really interesting is, like, you know, we talk a lot about, like, the theater of cleanliness, right? Like, the like performance of cleanliness that has, like, sustained a lot of things during
how
the
sanitized this has to look.
Yeah. But also besides that, alongside that, I should say more like the, you know, Academy has a massive interest in pretending like things are okay, right? Because the entire apparatus of Hollywood is under immense strain. I mean, I won't take tea, but you know, I know producers who are working on, like, huge Hollywood projects saying that they easily have spent on, like, just a week of filming, like, upwards of, like, $50,000 just on COVID testing, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, there is a huge financial burden to be had to have these things in person and also be up to standard. But, likewise, there's a massive financial and business investment in performing cleanliness so that things seem normal and, like, we're back, right? Like, the Emmys are back.
Oh,
TV is
it's
back.
Very much Hollywood the we're open, welcome back kind of energy.
And so it's really interesting watching something that could totally be held off camera that could totally be held like remotely, just like it was last year.
Yep.
Rather than this like big song and dance where everyone's going to basically spend more money than they will make having it in person, just so that they could like convince everyone that like COVID is like defeated and that we're fine.
That's what it is, right? That's what they want to sell.
I don't want to be a COVID denier. Like vaccines work, right? Like vaccines work.
I mean, if everyone there was vaccinated, rapidly tested that day, I wouldn't really be that worried either.
But also, like, it's not really about if it works anymore, right? Like, we have yet to see mass vaccinations in America. And so, like, the more that we try and perform that things are normal again, the longer that this goes on. I agree. And so, I mean, I'm not a scientist. Don't take my word for it. This is just my opinion. But I am sick and tired of, like, the song and the dance from the businesses and from the financial sector and from the political sector. I'm sick of it. It's like, we have to start pretending that everything is normal now. It's not normal.
It's things the way America normalizes the
people
trauma.
People are still dying. Yep. Like, people are still saying
the rates of COVID are 4 times higher right now than they were last year.
It's
among mostly unvaccinated.
Really, really messed up that like we have yet to reach any kind of scientific literacy. But again, vaccines work. So if everyone has to be vaccinated and everyone has to get tested, then what am I really going to do? I'm not a massive Hollywood producer. Neither are any of us. We're not going to get them to stop this. They've already put too much money into making sure that
it's happening.
But it's just interesting to me, the like, kind of like, how do I say? It's like the Ouroboros of Hollywood pride eating itself alive, because it's like, in their desperation to convince everyone else that things are fine and Hollywood is back, they're just going to like spend money they're never going to make back again. You know?
Oh, absolutely.
And it's just really interesting to like, just witness hubris in action, right? Like, there's no reason to put this kind of strain on the Los Angeles ecosystem to have an event that only a million people at best are going to watch. Because as we've said on this podcast,
it's been falling horribly.
Let you forget one of our very first episodes was an Emmys episode. The viewership has declined massively, plummeted, in fact.
No, people don't give a shit.
And being in person again is not going to drive viewership numbers up. Television is the hottest industry in media right now, short of TikTok and streaming. And yet people still don't care to watch the Emmys.
Because they're not the arbiter or influencer of what we watch anymore. It's about something we already stand possibly winning or not winning. Also, by the way, Ashlyn, our wonderful producer, sent, when we said Jonathan Club for where they're doing the viewing party for the Emmys, she immediately sent us a Wikipedia link about
them. I love Ashlyn so much.
So this is shocking. So the Jonathan Club is a social club with 2 California locations, one in downtown LA and one on the beach in Santa Monica. The club is routinely ranked as one of the top clubs in the world by Platinum Clubs of America, which, like,
sure,
like, okay, Jen, yeah, that's what it is. This is for the rich of the rich that know what the rich are doing. So listen to this, the history here. The club has 2 founding dates set in stone at the entrance to its downtown LA building, 1964, when it was a political club, in 1895, when it segued into a non-political social club and was chartered by the state of California. The club bases its anniversaries on June 8th, blah, blah, blah. Membership in the club is by invitation only. For much of its history, the club was accused of discrimination. Shocking. In 1965, the club was chartered with basically an anti-black, anti-Jew bias, and complaints were raised by the member that the membership dues of Mayor Sam Yorty that were being paid by the city taxpayers to support discrimination was, you know, terrible. And Yorty told a news conference he knew nothing about such circumstances. In 1975, the club did not admit women as members either. Women guests were, quote unquote, limited to certain floors, dining rooms, and entrances, though recent policy changes have allowed women to use the main elevator and lobby at the club. It voted to admit women by 1987, and today has more than 650 female members.
Wow.
Very. What a choice. That's exactly what I expected.
What a choice.
Honestly.
What a choice.
Yikes.
Okay, so like, detouring away, I had some like Kourtney Kardashian stuff we didn't touch on in the main episode.
Oh, of course, please.
Okay, so.
The real Hollywood.
I want you to. Don't click on it yet, because I'm going to make you play a game with me right now.
Oh, here we go. Okay.
Here I haven't clicked anything. Here is the Us Weekly headline. Feuds. Every response to Eunice Bendima allegedly calling
really?
Out Scott Disick for shading Kourtney Kardashian's PDA-packed romance with Travis Barker. All one headline.
Is this like a listicle for
Everyone
reactions
has an opinion.
To this DM and to
Eunice
this whole
put
thing?
Put it all out there when he shared alleged messages from Scott.
Alleged
who
messages.
Seemingly wasn't that thrilled about their joint ex, Kourtney Kardashian, enjoying her time in Europe with Travis Barker. Okay. So I want you to guess who is in this article.
Okay.
Guess just a name. Throw it out there.
Already?
Yeah, just throw a name.
I'm sure Amelia.
Scrolling, yes.
Oh, okay.
Keep going.
I mean, I would assume Lisa Rinna, I guess, by default, right? No? Okay. Kris Jenner?
Nope.
Really?
Nope.
Kylie Jenner?
Nope.
No, she couldn't have. She wouldn't get this low.
Nope.
I don't know who else would be involved. I don't know this circle. Rob Kardashian?
I'm gonna read you the names of the people that are in this listicle. Every response.
Okay.
Travis Barker, Kourtney Kardashian, Amelia Gray Hamlin.
Wait.
And Scott Disick.
Are you fucking... I fucking hate you. I hate you. Set me up to lose.
I shit you not.
So literally everyone involved directly.
Yes.
So...
And the way that... I knew that that's what it was going to be, obviously. But it was just so funny because I was like, this is the content mill, right? Like, every response
some
to
lazy fucking
Eunice
shit.
Allegedly calling out Scott Disick for shading Kourtney Kardashian's PDA-packed romance with Travis Barker. And it's just the four people listed in
I was like, it's literally the news itself is reacting to the news.
Every single person in this article. But you would think that it was like a bunch of people responding.
Like actual celebrities.
But it was non-news. Nobody cared about this short of Lisa Rinna and her publicist waiting to drop the
it's
Lisa Rinna.
It's literally the algorithm. It's literally the algorithm spitting out headlines and words that algorithmically will be most likely to get clicks to these writers.
I have a few things. Also, speaking of Lisa Rinna, can you please click this trailer link? And just watch this
You have
movie.
Me watching so many videos today.
Faze. I do, because they're so funny.
Wait.
They're so funny.
Oh, is this a trailer
this
for
is
Beyonce?
This trailer. Okay, we're going to play it here. So just insert that audio here. Please watch this trailer. It is hilarious. It was stolen in 1991. Bad gems have fallen into the wrong hands. I feel there's more to this story than you're telling. Find out who did this.
Oh, no what? Is going to stop me from getting it. The jewels? God helps those who help themselves. Eileen! Oh my god. That's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. Oh, they got some gays in this season. Who took a gun out of their pants? Wait, why is there a nun at the end with fake teeth? Wait, there's a drag queen?
That's Jackie Chalk, who does
I was gonna say there's a drag
cosplay on TikTok. Have you ever seen?
Yeah, no, I have. Yeah. I know exactly who that is.
Jackie Cox is in it playing like
a drag
Lisa
Rinna? Rinna
stalker, I guess. It's really unclear. But okay, that's
that
like
looks
Lisa
amazing.
Rinna's iconic return to television. We're going to watch every minute of it. But also, I wanted you to click this next link. Do you remember this? I think we talked about
what
it.
What the hell
podcast.
Is this? Oh, I hate you so much. Lisa Rinna and Kris Jenner commercial.
Hey,
this is one of the worst ads. This is for
Marvel
Wonder Woman, right? Oh yeah,
the ceiling.
Captain Marvel, of course, through a blockbuster.
I think there's a woman in there.
Her womanly senses are tingling.
I don't think she needs any help. What she needs is her own movie.
I've never seen anything like her.
Captain Marvel, baby. Lisa Rinna's done it all. Lip kits.
What's her name that plays Captain Marvel? What's her name again? The
Brie
actress.
Larson?
She has never met or been within 100 feet of Lisa Rinna, has she? There's no way.
She sees Lisa Rinna, she's running, girl.
That was literally shot on the same studio floor.
Oh, yeah.
Somewhere else in Los Angeles, and they pasted it right
and
into
I mean,
that advertisement.
As if we could say anything less, lest we forget, Tori Spelling reacts to Khloe Kardashian comparisons over new look. So we were watching.
That was dark.
I don't know what we were doing. I think we were just high on the sofa, but I gave you a photo and I said, who do you think this is? And you were like, Khloe Kardashian. And I was like, no, this is Tori Spelling.
Oh, yes.
Fully Tori Spelling.
That photo was
this is
scary.
Fully Tori Spelling.
It was like Khloe Kardashian cosplay. Like, that's what I would have assumed it was.
It was like.
There's no way you could have shown that photo without a picture of Tori Spelling next to it and have convinced anybody it was her and not Khloe Kardashian.
TMZ ran up on Tori Spelling somewhere. It's really unclear where she was. Quote, This is what the former Beverly Hills 90210 reboot star 48 told TMZ about it. Of course I'm honored. She's gorgeous. And then when asked if she was, you know, going for Chloe when she redid her look, Spelling said, quote, "No, but I'm honored to get that compliment."
Bleak.
I mean, it reminds me of one of my favorite Gawker articles of all time. I don't want to say rest in peace, rest in hell, especially this reboot that they've done. But the title was just, "Here are some photos of Renee Zellweger." I'm not going to describe to you what that is in that article. And it has definitely probably not aged as well as we all remember it. But it is an iconic article that is exactly the energy of those photos. "Here are some photos of Tori Spelling." Anyway,
please react.
You have something to do with Addison Rae, but I think we should end on that. Here's just some rapid fire stuff that we're not going to get into.
Okay.
It's just contextless headlines.
Yes, sure. Why not?
Joe Rogan gets COVID-19 after urging listeners not to get the vaccine.
Oh, and he's still hawking that dewormer shit, yeah. Too.
Vicky Gunvalson reports that she has COVID. Quote, "It's an unknown cold."
I love the Joe Rogan, Vicky Gunvalson Venn diagram here.
Harry Styles and Olivia Wilde seem very serious and happy with each other, says a source.
Okay.
Joy Behar recalls crazy experience after trying weed gummies for the first time.
Me too.
And that also Vanderpump Rules and Real Housewives of Salt Lake City are back.
Oh, we're gonna have to talk about that when they premiere.
Maybe we'll do an episode after the Salt Lake City premiere, like just like a quick reacts on Patreon.
Oh, we'll have to do that.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are here. You're listening to this.
Why isn't it coming out tomorrow?
I don't think.
Oh, fuck.
Maybe.
We got to check our calendars. Okay.
Well, maybe not that. Okay. Wait, what is this thing about Addison Rae?
Okay.
Get out of here.
So, as you guys listened, as our lovely Patreon subscribers, yeah. To our Addison Rae's stunning 5-star Oscar-winning performance, and he's all that, Variety could exclusively report this morning that Addison Rae's all that, basically, and that Netflix has signed her to a multi-picture deal due to the success of He's All That. Rae recently made her acting debut with the starring role in Netflix's He's All That, a gender swap remake of the 1999 high school rom-com She's All That.
You know my good
friend. Yeah. Right, we talked about it. Quote,
you're like, don't get into it now.
Okay, so Rae said, quote, "Getting the opportunity to work with Netflix was such a pinch me moment, and now I'm able to continue the relationship is beyond my wildest dreams. I'm thrilled to be able to collaborate with this incredible team, and I'm excited to develop projects while continuing to strengthen my skills as an actress." Anyway, the streamer's director of family film department, Nikitha Maddox, said, quote, "Addison Rae's charm and promise is undeniable, as evidenced by the He's All That and her already passionate fan base. We're thrilled to be part of this next phase of her burgeoning career as an actress."
What a funny, hilarious turn of sentence.
Netflix has burgeoning, passionate.
Burgeoning.
Netflix estimates that more than 55 million households will watch He's All That within its first month of a release.
Amazing.
I love the algorithm at play here. Girl, she's already outsold, allegedly, within the month, as algorithms predict. The film has reached number one on the streamer in 78 countries, including Brazil, France, and Saudi Arabia, according to Netflix.
Well, she definitely has a future in Saudi Arabia, that's for sure. It's going to be on, 1,000 milkshakes? Remember? Do you know all that?
What?
Mad. You've never seen those spawn cons of, like, Kim Kardashian going to Dubai to get a milkshake named after her in the mall?
Barely. What's 1,000 milkshakes?
Oh, God. We'll look this up in a second.
Okay.
You do that.
Anyway,
I'll do this.
As you guys know, Addison Rae has more than 83 million followers on TikTok, make her the third largest person on the platform, pretty sure after D'Amelio. She has also 39.2 million followers on Instagram and almost 5 million on her Twitter. Rae told Variety at the film's premiere last month that she's always dreamed of being an actor, and even before she became a TikTok sensation, producers Jennifer Gibgott and Andrew Panay praised her talent and work ethic. They allegedly said, "She's actually auditioned twice for us. She did over Zoom. We were like, you know what? This is going to be seen by the higher up, so we have to do it in person. She got tested for COVID and came to my living room. We put her on tape," adding, "She did the work."
Okay. It's not 1,000 milkshakes. It's millions of milkshakes. And here's some celebrities that have been named milkshakes in Dubai. Obviously, Kim Kardashian and Kris Jenner.
Who else?
Bella Thorne and Zendaya.
Who else?
It's mostly Kim Kardashian. Paris Hilton is here also. I just love that Bella Thorne was also there. It's mostly the Kardashians. But yeah, no, it's God like bless, an iconic celebrity hotspot.
God bless the Saudi Arabian Tourism Board.
That's
just
what I'm saying.
Working harder than the devil himself.
Addison Rae getting flown out. Like,
I can't get over the comment, she did the work. In terms of her doing an audition twice for this role. That was the work. She showed up, honey. She did her job.
You know what energy this She's press a star. Release has? It has this press release. I actually did look at what Joy Behar's weed story was because I'm like, what does Joy Behar see as like a crazy experience about weed gummies? Quote, Joy tried some gummies after she was having trouble revising her play Crisis in Queens after the cast's first reading. So the second night I was annoyed already because I couldn't fix it for the second night. So I took a THC gummy. I wanted to only take half, but I figured, oh, what the hell? So I go to the reading and everything is so loud all of a sudden. I had to leave. I had such a headache. I went out into my yard and I called my friend Susie up and I just started rambling and talking out loud about how everything was and how I was worried. And Susie goes, you're stoned, you idiot. Joy concluded her story as the audience burst into laughter. I took some gummies and everything got so loud. It was so crazy.
Speaking of being loud and crazy, your neighbors upstairs are like fully renovating their apartment, it sounds like.
I feel bad.
Aww. Well, if y'all can hear it, let us know. I wonder. I think we're fine.
Okay, I also want to run up on you really quick.
Why? Stop. Something. We need to get out of here. Are we done?
We do, but this is going to be the last thing.
Oh, Lord. Oh, what?
Okay. So you tried to come for me on the main episode about Rob Minkoff and his filmography, as it were. And I just want to make one thing really clear, okay? I want to make this really clear. Let's go through the producer credits for Rob Minkoff, okay? Okay? You want to do this with me right now? Okay. 2002, Stuart Little 2. 2003, Stuart Little the TV series. 2003 again, The Haunted Mansion. 2010, Aftermath. 2015, The Mr. Peabody and Sherman Show TV short series. 2018 to 2020, Rainbow Rangers. 2021, Blazing Samurai. And then here's some of his directing credits. Short film Tummy Trouble in 1989. Lion King in 1994.
I hate you so much. What are we doing?
The Best of Robert Rabbit video short in 1996. Stuart Little, 1999. Disney's The Lion King 2, Simba's Pride video game in 2001. Stuart Little 2 in 2002. The Haunted Mansion. The Forbidden Kingdom. One episode of the TV series Leverage. A movie in 2011 called Flypaper. Mr. Peabody and Sherman in 2014. And then nothing from 2014 to the year his wife gets on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, Blazing Samurai. And you wanted to tell me this man had Sutton Strachey money. You've been ran up on.
I feel, mic drop. I feel very attacked right now.
Mic drop.
We need to get to Beverly Hills because Garcelle's wearing Asa's caftans, and that sounds more exciting than listening to you read IMDb word for word. So.
I love you so much. I just was not going to let your legitimately bad behavior.
Get the W-2s. You have access to court documents. Let's get their tax returns. Rob Minkoff, and they don't live very far from each other. I'm sure it's the same paperwork.
Guys, do you want to see Matt and I wield knives the next time we argue on the podcast? Like and comment below. Anyways, that's all of our Patreon today. If you guys liked our episode last week, let us know in the comments, and we'll definitely figure out more stuff. We'll join Cinderella on the main feed next week, but we're always down to watch shitty movies and react as bonus episodes. It's like my favorite thing to do.
It really is the best.
Yeah. Anyways, do you have any closing thoughts?
No.
Okay. Wait.
Let's go.
What are you doing? Get away from me. Are you trying to push me down the elevator right now? No, back up. Back up. Back up. No! My name is Phoebe Rexha and I'm in the studio doing something I've never done before. Splat.
The bitch is dead.
Goodbye.
Come on, if you know the words, let's go.
What do I think of her?
Yes.
I don't think of her.
Bless a red wine and a swisher. I think you get the picture.
Here I go. Oh.